40 years ago, the music, as that old fogey Don McLean might say, got louder. Punk refused its name and became the movement to send rock back to the fringe and get it away from pop celebrity. Hard to have much pop celebrity with a name like the Dead Kennedys, right, back in the 1980s. The Ramones screamed the anthems of Holy Mayhem from New York City, Husker Du from the Twin Cities, Sid Vicious had both celebrity and fringe, and then women voices of L7 and Hole grabbed the mic and the club scene shuffled again with different personnel. Punk has lost its underground rep as a genre, but the bands who play messages of angst and doom are alive and well in an underground world that never went away, and now has a higher profile because of the internet and a greater variety of messages. Katie Alice Greer is the frontwoman of the D.C.-based band Priests. You can scour the weeklies to find the next dive where they are playing, or just Google them. And she says that's how a lot of bands get discovered these days.
I think women have always been making some of the most interesting music, whether it's punk or anything else, same with people of color. And it's an interesting question of, like, whether or not punk is more inclusive right now. I think that, like, punk was built by women and people of color, queer people, people who are not the majority. And maybe now, with the internet, we're hearing more from those voices. But we've always been around doing things like that.
And it's not so much a hear-from impulse as it is a participatory impulse. I mean, punk is a way of joining a whole movement, even if you just go to a club once. If the message means something to you, there's a powerful experience there at the heart of punk, whatever the music is. How is that a truth in what you do, the fans that come to your concerts?
Nobody owns punk. Nobody owns the definition of the word. It probably means a million different things to a million different people. If some of that speaks to you at a show or speaks to you on a recording, you can take whatever you want from that and interpret those ideas in your own life. You don't need a membership card or any other permission from anybody.
How much does social media enlarge the community, enlarge the rave pit, if I can sound like an old white guy to bring that up?
There are systems at play that silence a lot of voices, and maybe with infrastructure that is built on social media, those voices are amplified. So it's like, oh wow, all these people have been here the whole time and have been doing all these things, and via social media, more voices can be a part of the conversation a lot of times.
Is punk more or less likely or more vulnerable to being dismissed by mainstream culture these days than in the past?
Punk has always been about resisting the mainstream, resisting oppressive infrastructures of capitalism, white supremacy, I think the things that kind of guide culture in the USA. Punk, on a very shallow level, has been very marketable. It's been very trendy. The mainstream really wants to embrace that. And I think a lot of people very justifiably involved in punk are interested in still finding ways to preserve the subversion of punk, the resistance of it, while still making it something vital and available to whoever wants it.
Let's explore what that means, because I think on the one hand, people can value the idea that an institution like the Metropolitan Museum of Art would value the movement of punk and the historical significance of punk. But when you see punk clothing at a Gap,
for me as someone who's working in a band, like my profession is making music, so you start to really tread a fine line when people want to market my band as a punk band. There's going to be plenty of people in punk who are like, don't make your living off of being associated with punk. Questions like that, I think, actually make 2016 a really interesting idea for anyone involved in making countercultural or subversive art, whether you want to call it punk or anything else. Like, how do we resist? How do we make group conversations that lots of voices can be a part of without feeling like we're being gobbled up by the machine of the culture industry or capitalism.
How does punk or the band Priests liberate you to explain and celebrate your own experience as a young woman?
I've lived in D.C. for over a decade, but I grew up in the suburbs in Michigan. And punk for me was like something I discovered obsessively reading about music on the internet, and was like old bands that didn't exist anymore. I thought it was, you know, this long gone thing. And then I moved to a city and started going to shows and was like, oh my God, it's happening right now. And wow, this is so exciting. I think punk is way less something that you can tell by ear. It's a lot more ideological or conceptual. All kinds of things could be punk.
One of the things I notice is that there is a sense, call me crazy, that you want people to hear the lyrics. Is that true?
There are things that I know people will, you hear it and you think, oh, that sounds like a punk band. For me, especially in this modern age where punk is such a commodity and it's so trendy, I don't really care if your band quote-unquote sounds punk. For me, the way you are producing your music, the ideas that you have in there, that is, for me, how I decide if something sounds punk or not. But for me, it's much more about, like, are you making something vital and necessary that is trying to fight this incredibly oppressive culture that's produced the psychotic election that we're all watching happen right now.
An album title, Psychotic Election? Possible?
Yeah, like I'm going to, I'll write that down. Yeah,
definitely.
Totally.
Katie Alice Greer, thanks so much.
Thank you for having me.
The band is Priests. Their album, Nothing Feels Natural, is out January 27th.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.